you did not hear Dan Beaulieu's message last week, if I give homework, that's your homework. I would encourage you to go listen to it.
Amen.
It was a great word. He shared it with a bunch of people, so it's our most viewed video, so you can go on there and find it pretty easily. But it was a very, he's been here every year since I've been here, and it was the most timely word he's given. It was excellent, and I sent some folks, and that was the kind of thing. It's a really timely word that he brought. And I would just encourage you to, 40, 45 minutes, if you pull it up, he starts preaching about the 101 mark on the recording. And I would just encourage you to take 40, 45 minutes this week in your car, at home, whatever you're doing, and just listen to that. It was a word for us and just a word for this season.
Amen.
My spirit leapt a few times. My spirit jumped within me, some of the things he was sharing. So, I'm sorry.
Who is that? Who are you talking about?
Dan Beaulieu, the guy who was here last week, the sermon from last Sunday.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep, so that's online, so I would encourage you to go back and listen if you can. So I do want to share a few things this morning. I am not going to be long. I don't think I'm going to be long. I spoke a few weeks ago on Romans. It was just more of a burden that the Lord gave me, and it's applicable for today. I like when I hear things that convict me. I like being convicted. I really do, because there's always room for growth.
Yes.
I like when I realize there's a blind spot in my life. There's something I haven't quite, I'm not there yet, Lord, I need help. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute, but turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. Romans 12. Just as a quick review, there's two aspects. First thing, in verse 9, and I spoke about this a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to, circle that wagon again, other than to say this. It says, let love be without hypocrisy, which is, this is a very practical thing. And I have the passage in 1 John 3:18. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love always requires action. Faith does too. Faith without works is dead. And so I always love it when someone tells me, hey, I love you, and by their actions, they don't. I think all of us have had that, some person at some time in your life. And love is action, and love requires response. There was a statement from Joseph Garlington. He's a pastor in Philadelphia. Been there for many, many years, and I'm going to paraphrase what he said, not say it as well. I'm going to miss some parts of it, but he made a statement about worship, and he said, worship is the one time where we get together and we lie. And what he meant by that is we sing songs like, Lord, I surrender all, except when my checkbook comes to the forefront. Lord, I give myself away, except Monday and Tuesday. And it's I know for myself when I worship, but it's a chance that we can sing and almost prophesy until we get to that place. And I know for me, there's songs I sing. There's a song of my that I my music when I worship songs. Kimberly Rivera, and she's singing, Lord, I want all there is of you. And every time I sing that, I say, I do. But there's always this pause in me, like, do I really? I'm going to sing it. But Lord, consuming fire, or be the flame in my heart. And I remember, I've shared this story here before, and I was in Bible school, we had our youth gathering, and I was up there worshiping, and my hands up, and it was one of these songs, it was Misty Edwards' song, I can't remember the name of it right now, but I was singing it, and I said, the Lord just dropped my spirit, I'm going to take you up on what you're singing, take you up on it. Yeah, be the fire inside of me. I'm going to take you up on it. And sure enough, he did. And so worship does give us a chance, but to do that where I can sing my love, and then God requires us to live it and to act it and to do it. Just to go off the trail a little bit, faith without works is dead. Love requires action. It's not enough just to know something intellectually. I have to walk. It has to be shoe leather. And I'm reading a book right now. It's Catch Me If You Can. I guess there's a movie out of it. It's fascinating. It's this guy in the 60s who was a teenager and conned his way through life. I think Leonardo DiCaprio played it. He conned his way to being a pilot, a doctor. It's a fascinating little book. But what was amazing, and I showed this in the Bible study, when he became a pilot, he forged his way to be a pilot. He'd fly on planes. He realized right off the bat he didn't know the lingo. So he would hang around with the pilots, get the lingo, study the books, get the lingo, but he never actually flew an airplane. And I said, what a wonderful picture sometimes of us as children of God for myself. I want to make sure, Lord, I don't just know the lingo. I don't have the terminology. I'm not in the right places, but I'm actually going to fly that plane. I want to fly it. And so love is the same way. And in Matthew 15:7 it says, you hypocrites, well, Isaiah prophesied, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I said, Lord, I don't want that. And I think I said this 2 weeks ago. I was in here alone praying one day, and I actually went up and physically put my heart on that cross. Because I said, Lord, I don't want to just honor you with my lips and have my heart not connected to the cross of Christ. I don't want that. And so God requires that. He asks of that from us. And I don't want to just say I love, so let love be without hypocrisy. Jesus ripped to shreds the hypocrites, the Pharisees. They had the lingo, they didn't have the heart. The Lord's very concerned with the condition of our heart.
Amen.
So, in verse 14, I'm going to drop down to verse 14, and I'm going to share a little bit about our heart. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. The word there actually denotes an action. It means to speak, to bless, and to do. And we're going to continue to see that. Son's having fun going on the steps. We're going to continue to see that throughout. But I was listening this week to, and I'm going to kind of elaborate some on it. Now, it's a guy, James Gall. I think he's a genuine oracle. I really like him. And he was being interviewed, and this was recent, about a week ago. And I'm not going to share everything he shared. If you want to get the copy of it, I'll send it to you, the interview. But it convicted me, and it struck me, and it broke my heart. And he was talking because in our day, I was thinking this week, I have a lot of different things. There's some messages that I haven't taught here that are in my heart, and I haven't, and I'm going to. But right now, in this season where we live in time, it's very important that the gospel speaks to the issues of our day. And it changes how we live and it changes how we act. And I feel obligated to do that. And he was speaking about people that he possibly disagreed with. And today, because everyone has politics, people have politics as their God, they think more about that than they do the Lord. He was focused on that and the disagreements there. And there was a couple individuals in particular he spoke about. He said, I've always prayed for them, but he said, I've never had a burden for them. I've never had a heart for them. And as he was saying that, he was having a hard time getting through it because he was breaking up in his heart. There's a difference between praying for someone. I have a burden and a heart for my children. I'm going to pray for them because I carry that inside of me. I'm going to pray for Joe Blow down the road a little differently. So it's possible I can pray and just simply bless. But where's my heart at? And as I heard him speak and I started to evaluate my heart, I said, my heart's not there. I don't have a burden. And that can be a political person. That can be someone in any group you can think of today. Leave names out and you fill in the blank. Someone today doesn't agree with you. Someone today doesn't like you. Someone today would turn you off just because they have a difference with you. And the stronger position is that of the kingdom, which means that I can bless and not curse. It doesn't mean that I'm weak. I've already spoke a couple weeks ago about part of love is abhorring what is evil and clinging to what is good. So I can't really love someone if I don't call out evil. So I'm not being soft with this. But there has to be a a burden that says I'm going to transcend and rise above this and take the stronger position and bless when I'm cursed. Speak well when I'm spoken poorly against. And really have a heart. I don't have a true heart for a lot of people that I pray for in the world. I don't. Be honest with you. Pray for them, but I don't carry a burden for them. And maybe I'm not supposed to carry an immense burden, but I want to be better. And I want us to be better. Okay? As a pastor here, sometimes I feel like I have something that's really from the Lord for all of us. I want us to be better. I'm not saying you're not, but we can be better. I can be better. Lord, I want a real heart for someone that I don't like or don't agree with. Amen? Not just bless them, but Lord, I really want to intercede for their family. I really want to see them come to faith. I really want to pray for their protection, their well-being, and their health. Amen?
Amen.
We see the opposite in the world today, you know? And so, in Matthew chapter 5, actually, just let me read these. You can turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. I'm going to read two quick verses. 1 Peter 3:9, it says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called." And 1 Thessalonians says, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to one another and to everybody else." Jim Gall, I'm going to quote him one more time because he made this statement. He says, "You can intimidate the enemy with your intimacy with God." Amen, you can. He says, "I believe one of the highest weapons in spiritual warfare is acting in the opposite spirit." Amen. I couldn't agree more. I had this and I forgot, and last night I wrote down that one of the highest weapons of spiritual warfare is acting in the opposite spirit. I believe that, I believe that, I believe that. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of reversals. And I always say this, I'm born into this kingdom of this world. It's cosmos, it means there's a system around me. And as I'm born, what's normal to the world becomes normal to me. And I'm translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And when that happens, a new set of values become what I should live and govern me. I'm now a citizen of heaven. And I live in the kingdom of heaven on this earth. But we have to, in Romans 12, renew our minds.
Right.
To gaze upon Him in intimacy and let the Word transform us. And now being living a kingdom lifestyle, which is opposite to the world. Right. And it seems strange sometimes. Even there's things I do that seem strange, you know. It's more blessed to give than receive. I receive by giving. It makes no sense. But that's the kingdom of God. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you." Really quickly, just as a point of reference, the Pharisees had what was called the oral law. And so there's the law they would take, law of Moses. And so Jesus was quoting there from Leviticus, and the Pharisees took that, and they said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." They took it, and they said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy." So Jesus was correcting their oral law. It says you have to hate your enemy. Okay? And He says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For what if you love those who love you? What reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I'm going to look at one more, and you guys, I think everyone knows the Good Samaritan, right? And Jesus talks about your neighbor here. In Luke chapter 10, and they asked Him, they said, "Who is my neighbor?" And in Luke chapter 10, I'm actually not going to read, but it's in Luke chapter 10, verse 29 through 37. Jesus tells them that their enemy is their neighbor, because the Jews, their enemy were the Samaritans. They were considered to be rascals. They were thank you, God, that I'm not like one of these. They're half-breeds. They were seen as a lower form of society. Do we see that in our world today in so many different avenues? Mm-hmm. If I don't agree with Maurice, he's less than. And we have that throughout. So Jesus says, I'm taking, you've made your neighbor your enemy. I'm taking your enemy and I'm making him your neighbor. And now go and act accordingly. Who is the one who was the good Samaritan? The one who did good. The one who did something. He did something. And Jesus talks about that here. He said, do good to those who hate you. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. And he's speaking about love there. And the agape love. You may have heard of agape, but there's a great definition of it. It says it's the power to love someone we may not like and does not like us. We have this when the Spirit enables us to conquer our natural tendency towards anger and towards bitterness. And so it goes against just not hating someone, and it goes towards actually doing a good. And so I've shared this story here before. It says, love your enemies and do good. It says, don't just be silent towards them, but actually bless them. Don't just be silent, but actually bless. I've shared this story here before. Maybe you've heard it, but for those of you who haven't, this may be my third or fourth time I've shared it here. But when we lived in Virginia, there was a man we had a... We lived downstairs, and there was a guy who lived upstairs. And we found out he was a prior convict for selling cocaine. And so there was some shady goings on. And because of that, I had a moment... Literally in my heart, one day he did something, and I said, I hate that guy in my heart. And immediately, I got so convicted. The Spirit of God convicted me. And a verse came to my heart, love covers a multitude of sins. And I had a crispy, you may remember the story, I had a Krispy Kreme coupon on our refrigerator. And the Lord said, give that to him. And I'll never forget, I went out, hey, Raymond, chased him down. You like donuts? Really didn't like him. Do you like donuts? Gave him a card. And then God gave me that object lesson. That was me flying the plane. That wasn't just preaching about it. I'm not perfect at this. But then, that day I flew the plane. And he changed my heart. And from that day, I had a softness towards him I'd never known before. Because I had taken the word of God to heart. And I actually said, if I'm going to love him, I don't want to like him. But I'm going to do good, even when I don't feel it. Yeah. As I said 2 weeks ago, love is more than a feeling. The old Boston song. It's more than a feeling. It requires action. And sometimes if I don't feel it, I can still do it.
Right.
And I do subscribe to this, that we don't have to like everyone, but we can love everybody. I didn't particularly like him, but my heart changed to love him. Softness and a burden. I still think of him to this day. And I would just ask us in this environment and in this day, can we do that? Can I find someone that I can do good, bless, and love so that my heart can change? So the people I think are the vilest of the vile, can my heart change towards them? And verse 17, it's actually, I'm going to stop. Verse 15, just real quick, I read a quote, and I want to read it. But verse 15 of Romans, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And I've spoken on that here a couple months ago. But I read a quote I want to read because it says, to refuse to rejoice with another reveals envy in your own heart. To refuse to weep with another reveals a lack of compassion in our hearts. Either way, you have a serious problem. All of us may have had those at some point in life. I'm going to read it again. To refuse to rejoice with another reveals envy in your heart. To refuse to weep with another reveals a lack of compassion in your heart. Either way, you have a serious problem. I would just say, if that us in any way, Lord, let me truly, Paul rejoiced. He says, if one part suffers, we all suffer. If one part rejoices, we all rejoice. Amen? Just have that within us. But verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil, and have regard for good things in the sight of man. That's pretty much a continuation of what we just had. But it says this, if it is at all possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. Back to Matthew, Jesus confirms we're going to have enemies. You have enemies in life, people who don't like you. You have people you don't like. That's just the norm. And it's not always possible to make your enemies always love you and always agree and always come to a solution. And that's okay. As long as your heart is in the right place and that your heart is good and that your heart is pure towards the Lord. There's a verse in Proverbs 16:7. It says, "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Okay, Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Elizabeth Elliot was a missionary. I shared a story about her a few weeks ago. Wonderful woman of God. And she shared a story about her husband. And she prayed and sought the Lord. Worked on him. Went, prayed, sought the Lord. And he never changed. And she came to the conclusion one day. She said, "Lord, if he never changes, use him to change me. If he never changes, use him to change me." And there's people, there's situations, there's things that we can't change and we're not going to change, but they can change us. Yeah. And our first priority is always love the Lord your God with all your heart and then your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. There's a breakdown between me and my walk with my brother or sister. It means there's first a breakdown in my walk with God, and that needs to be restored and repaired first. And sometimes the Lord's not so much after, you know, Owen's my enemy. Not, let's say he is, and there's no way we can be reconciled. That's okay. I'm going to continue to live in a higher kingdom of God. I'm going to live in a higher plane. I'm going to bless, do good. I may have to stay away from him. I'll pray for him, or give me a burden for him, and it's okay. But Lord, when I'm around him, if he won't change, Lord, at least use him to change me. So Jesus, I'm more like you. I love how Jesus dealt with those who hated him. I love it. Last thing on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." First martyr, Stephen, same thing. I don't know that I'm there yet, but Lord, I want to be there. I want to have that heart towards my enemies. They don't know what they do. Forgive them, Lord. Lord, bless them. Save them. I want to read another passage as we go through. It says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves." I'm closing with this. "But rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord." Verse 20, "Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head." He's actually quoting from Proverbs there. Proverbs 21, Paul is. And I didn't know this until this week, studying it. There's an Egyptian custom about burning coals on your head. When the Egyptians were repentant, they would take a hot coal on their head because of something they'd done to someone. Hot coals. Lay down and put the hot coals on their head to singe them enough where they could feel remorse. It's a tough way to do it. I'm not going to do that. But that's what they did.
So when
I would have to have great scripture on that. So what they did, so when Paul had that in mind, "In doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head." I believe Paul's heart there, because he just said, "Vengeance is the Lord's, not ours." I believe he had mercy and repentance in his heart. And that's one thing James Gold was praying for one individual. He said, "I kept praying and praying and praying for her. Mercy, mercy, extend the mercy for her. I want her saved. I want her saved. I want her saved. I want her saved." And it just touched me. I was thinking, you know, what if my heart was, "Lord, why am I giving them food when they're hungry? Why am I giving them something to drink? You know, is it just to stick my chest out and know they feel bad?" Because everyone's had that happen to them before. I'm sure you have. If you haven't, then, you know, my dad is the best at that. He can go into the worst, most obnoxious person in the world and flip it like that. If he ever watches this, he's got a real anointing for that. He's great at it. If we find someone annoying, we say, "Dad, go talk to them." Turns the whole thing around. He's very good at it. I'm not. He's very good at it. But it goes back again. The Lord's very concerned with our heart. And sometimes, like Carlton said, I can do something and until it becomes my heart. Sometimes the Lord wants us to step out and do it so it becomes my heart. And sometimes feeding them when they're hungry, blessing them when they're cursing me, praying for them when they wish for my demise, blessing them with all my heart, doing something good for them when they would want to crush me to powder. And my heart's not so, I'm going to show you, but my heart is, Lord, I want them to repent so much. I want them to come to you so much. I'm going to do this so that the coals can be on their head and they can say, my goodness, how is this guy offering like this? What is it that's doing it? I need Jesus. At the end of the day, that's a heart issue. Not always there. But I want my heart to be truly, as I say, evangelistic. Everyone I encounter, I listened to this guy this week, and he was at a, you can put two and two together. I felt awful for him. He was in a city council in Seattle, and he was addressing the mayor using the worst profanity. And as I listened to him, it grieved me, my heart. And I said, if anyone needs Jesus, that guy right there needs Jesus so much. You know, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. The guy's not my enemy right there. But he's influenced by a weaker spirit than I'm influenced. And I can't allow myself to stoop down into what he's operating in. I come with a stronger position. Some people say that's weak. No, that's strong, because it's a lot harder. It's a lot easier to get in the gutter with this guy.
Right.
But the stronger position, Lord, this guy needs Jesus. The movement this guy's leading there, they need Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, give me a heart for them that they would see Jesus. Give me that heart. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. It's important that we have that today. David had it. My last example. King David. He had crazy Saul chasing him. Running him down. Wanting to kill him. And I love the story when David had him in his clutches twice to kill him. He said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. Because backing up this verse, vengeance is God's. God took care of Saul. God's going to deal with Saul. It's not my place to deal with Saul. I'm going to continue to pray for this guy. He's trying to kill me. I'm still going to say, you're the king, and bless him. And keep doing it. And keep doing it. Because God, at the end of the day, he's a better judge than me. I'm glad he's judging me and not someone else. I'm glad he's judging all of us and not someone else. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I'm going to leave that to him. And I'm going to do my part to see them repent and come to Jesus. Amen. I'm done. Sam, you're going to come up and just close with one song. 3 or 4 minutes. And I will send you that video if you want. Because it's interesting for other reasons just than what I shared.